And welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Co-hosting with me today will be Giannis Genaeus. In this episode, we will be discussing the 2-1 loss for Fulham in the home opener against Brighton Hove Albion. Again, Fulham give up a late goal to, unfortunately, get the loss. And it was a very unfortunate ending to this match. Fulham definitely deserved at least a point. I could argue possibly should have won the match. But again, they end up losing the match. And we're going to go through this in the next 60 minutes. Looks like Giannis is on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Giannis, are you with me?
Hello!
How are you doing, Giannis?
Well, I've taken my pills. I've taken my alcohol. I think I'm in a decent shape now to vent a few frustrations that I've got from yesterday's game.
I don't think you're the only one that's still frustrated. I'm frustrated. I watched it this morning. I know you watched it as well. And after listening to it yesterday and watching it today, I am left still extremely frustrated and disappointed. And we're going to go through my thoughts on it, but I obviously also want to get your thoughts. And I'm sure we're not the only ones that are extremely frustrated by this result, Giannis.
Yeah, for sure. I've got a little bit of venting to do here. I'm not exactly enamored. I mean, the result is one thing, but there's certain elements of what happened that I'm less than happy with, for sure.
Absolutely, and I'm sure we are going to be touching on this in the next 60 minutes, because again, listening to the match, like I just mentioned, you know, you hear things, and I want to give props. I want to give credit to Gentleman Jim and especially Sean Davis, and I'm going to suggest this to Kit. Have a talk with your friend Sean Davis, because he actually had some very good points during the match. Maybe you should hire him. I don't know, because Sean Davis, I thought, was spot on listening to the match, Giannis.
Yeah, I think he was too. But I think a lot of what Sean and Jim talked about really surrounded some common sense, and there seemed to be a distinct lack of it in the second half. I know we're going to go through it, but there was a couple of things that went on that really were mind-numbing. There's no way in hell we should have we looked the better side in the second half. We really should have come away with the 3 points, you know, let alone actually dropping it in the last minute with a penalty. Yeah. So it's very frustrating.
It is frustrating. And listen, we will get to that penalty and that foul by Sean Hutchinson. I've watched it probably, Giannis, about 100 times. I've slowed it down. I've seen still shots. We'll talk about that when we get there. But there's so much to talk about before that. Let's start here, and let's start with the opening segment of this match. Let's go through key moments. But before we talk about the key moments, I'm going to call this an incredible key moment, which is really the opening 30 minutes. For whatever reason, Fulham played extremely passive, Giannis. And again, watching it back, backed up what I listened to. For whatever reason, they backed off the ball, and you have to give credit to Brighton because they took it to Fulham. They actually did. They were playing like the home team. They came in Fulham. But my question that I still am shaking my head, why did we come out so passive? Why did we give them so much space? Why did we let them dictate the play, Giannis, in the first 30 minutes?
I'll answer that very simply, Ross. We weren't ready. We came out absolutely flat as a pancake. I mean, before the game, Kit talked about making Craven Cottage our fortress. What a Lego fortress. I mean they came out, to be honest, they came out, they attacked with intent. They put our midfield under tremendous pressure. Their link up play was very good. And they ran at, to call it the way it was, they ran us roughshod for the first 30 minutes. We weren't in the game. And you know, Baldock's got the goal. And we can't turn around and say it was against the run of play, because it wasn't. We were never in it the first 30 minutes. And with the midfield that we've got, you know, and the way we're supposed to be shaped, you know, the shape was the way we be shaped up. I expected a lot better. It was a really flat first half, and I thought we were very lucky to gain halftime, you know, level. It was the timing of our equaliser was excellent, and you're thinking, well, that's a real kick in the pants for the Seagulls. You know, we come out, we've got the goal at a good time. We can come out the second half. We can go right at them. We're going to create chances. We know how to unlock them. But that first half an hour was absolutely lamentable. I mean, it was just, you couldn't tell who the, you couldn't tell who the home side was, and Brighton played very well.
Yeah, listen, I want to give Brighton credit because they came in with that intent. And it's funny because Kit mentioned this in his interview with Sarah, that he knew that they were going to be coming at him. And here's my thought. If you know that they're coming at him and your team is flat, what are you doing to try to inspire your team to come out of the funk? Because they were in a 30-minute funk. And again, it's difficult to really keep. Question: what was he doing during these 30 minutes, Giannis? I'm sorry, I have to ask the question.
Well, you know what? What you just said there's an indictment right there. I mean, you turn around and you said they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink for this game. You know it's coming. Look, you know what? There's a tsunami about 5 miles away, and you can see a giant wave coming in. You're going to stand there. You're going to run for your bloody life. Get the hell out of there. Be prepared. You've been given the timing. You've been given, ample, opportunity to prepare. He knew that. He knew that Brighton were going to bring a good away support, and they did. We didn't look ready. We looked like we just come off a plane. We looked jet lagged. Yeah. We looked flat as pancakes. And you could say, there's the match fitness thing and da da da. Well, every team's in the same boat. We had the game down in Cardiff last Saturday, with the League Cup game in Wickham. All right. So we've had days to prepare for this. To all intents and purposes, the Crystal Palace game notwithstanding, you've had 3.5 months to prepare for your first home league game of the season. It's a big game. For us to be in the top six, this has to be a fortress. We've got to be looking to lose maximum 3-4 games at home this season and do well away from home. But yesterday, we've come out and we've looked absolutely flat. We've looked at times disinterested. And that part of it, it starts in the changing room. You've got to get them mentally prepared. Now, you could say, they're professionals. Yeah. But not the way that we came out. We looked second best. We'd have come second in a one-horse race. We were all over the shop. And to be fair, Brighton came at us. And they looked hungrier. And they wanted early in that first half, they made it pretty clear they wanted the result. And we were just literally hanging on by our fingertips.
That's what's frustrating about this. I don't want this to be a 60-minute let's bash Kit, but again, I just have to. I'm just asking the question. You just mentioned preparation. They didn't come out prepared, Giannis. They didn't come up ready to go. Again, we could talk about all the matches leading up to it, but this is the match. Were there nerves involved? I don't know. Potentially, maybe nerves were involved as well. But it took them so long to settle into this match. And really, it took a goal by Brighton for them to finally get going. And that's unfortunate, because that's going to lead me to talk about the goal. Because like you mentioned, Giannis, and I saw this on Twitter, the minute the goal was scored, it was coming. That goal was coming. Yep. They deserved the goal. So in the 30th minute, Sam Baldock scores again from across from Bruno. But this is an easy goal given up, Giannis. I hate to put it that way.
Yeah, it was. And you're right, it was coming. I mean, they'd had enough possession. They were giving us lots of problems. Smith lost the ball to Hoonemeyer, and then all of a sudden, Bruno's gone through. It's in, Baldock's. It's a nice finish. But I've got a separate issue in terms of the way it was handled after the game by Kit.
Okay.
And that's where I think my main rant is going to come in. I'm very disappointed with the way that this was handled, this whole after-match thing was handled, because I think Mr. Shah would have been there, but there were a couple of elements that really didn't sit well with me in terms of the way that Kit handled the post-match press conference. I don't know if this is now the forum to go on about it. It upset me.
I was going to say, why don't we get to the end of the match? After we get to the end of the match, then we'll go back to that, because I want to get through the match, and then we can talk about the presser. We can talk about afterwards, definitely. Don't forget to mention it, because I want to get your thoughts on that. But let's move on, because again, after the goal in the 30th minute, Fulham finally got it in gear a little bit, started moving the ball around, and in the 43rd minute, again, this is really a wonderful goal by Tom Kearney, and he had an opportunity earlier in the match as well. So again, I could say that, I could say maybe, Kearney was getting into the game because he had a shot earlier. But this goal, Giannis, if this is what we're going to see from him during the season. I think he could have a very good year for Fulham. So talk about the goal by Kearney that was assisted by LVC.
Oh, a cracking goal. Cracking goal. The pickups of Pringle.
Giannis, okay, go ahead. You were breaking up a little bit.
Yeah. And it was a cracking goal. And I said earlier, the timing was perfect. Because really, to be honest, I don't think we deserved anything out of that. If we'd gone a goal down, I don't think there'd have been many complaints in the ground. It's a lovely goal. It's a lovely finish. And all of a sudden, it's given the lads a blood transfusion that they scarcely deserved on the basis of the first 30, 35 minutes. And Chris Hughton had said, you know, that he was very disappointed to go at halftime at 1-1. And I agree with him. Because Brighton were the better side in the first half. And they must have thought, well, this is a little bit of daylight robbery. How come we've dominated this first half and yet we're still level with this lot? We should have been up at least a couple of goals. So the timing of the timing of Kearney's goal was very good. And I think that, you know, Kit would have had something, some impetus and some momentum to take into the change rooms. And it sounds like what he said at halftime is he gave him a little bit of a rollicking and said, look, let's up the tempo in the second half because we've got the midfield that can take control. And in the second half, we came out and we played a lot better.
We definitely did, Giannis. And listen, I want to mention this because, you know, Chris Hughton, he would have really been upset if Fulham scored in stoppage time. They actually had an opportunity to score in stoppage time. Matt Smith hits the post. And, boy, if we go in at halftime up 2-1, you know, Fulham definitely, I think, would have won this match. But, again, it wasn't to be. It hit the post. And then we go to the second half. And again, what's interesting about this, have to give Brighton credit, have to give Chris Hughton credit, because you were mentioning, Giannis, that Kit probably had a good amount to say at halftime. Well, I have a feeling Chris Hughton had a good amount to say because his team came offline, actually had a couple of opportunities to score early in the second half. What are your thoughts about how the second half began? Yeah. It was a little similar to the first half.
Well, you know what? They're going to be some fans smiling. Next comment, but Chris Hughton's a very good manager, and I know that when that Felix got released last year, one of the calls was, well, you know, who are the managers that are out there who are available, and one of them was Chris Hughton. He's not a mug by any means, and I know there were some fans who felt that he should have come in. He's a canny manager. He's got obviously Premier League experience. I thought he did a good job. Certainly think he did a good job at Norwich. And, it's not a surprise. He said, look, you know, we took the lead, but we're 1-1, but let's go at them. Let's see if we can produce the same sort of impetus and momentum first few minutes. And let's see if we can get something out of it. And there's no reason why we can't go on and win this. You know, they started to get a foothold in, because if you look at this midfield, Ross, it's a very good midfield. I know we don't have Scotty Parker in there, but right, with LVC and Kearney and Pringle and O'Hara to me has been absolutely fantastic. You've got a very, very good midfield that's creative, that's industrious, that's hardworking, that likes to keep the ball on the deck, and has got a lot of energy. So you look at it and you say, well, there's some potential there to create a lot of chances. Defensively, we should be able to drop well with this midfield as a unit. And I thought the longer we got into the game, the greater the chance that we'd maybe get back, you know, maybe start to get a stranglehold in the midfield. And that's exactly what happened. Second half, I thought we were excellent in the midfield. Unfortunately, yes, of course, the ending didn't quite go according to plan.
No, it definitely didn't, Giannis. And listen, I want to ask you about a moment that might have been a turning moment, but we'll get to that in just a second, because again, what's interesting about the second half, like you said, you know, they come out strong, and again, you have to give Hughton credit, they come out strong, but you know, I find this interesting because I listened to an interview with LVC this morning that Fulham put on the website, and he was talking about how they were, you know, again, that he thought that maybe their fitness would help them in the second half. You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, talking about the fitness of the team really kicked in. And possibly, you know, again, Brighton got a little bit tired in the second half because they came out so strong. So Fulham took advantage of it. And that's actually a good sign that we got stronger as the match went on. But I want to ask you, if you see this as a key moment, I want to talk about a substitution that Emilio Dinelar, Cotter's Talk co-host, thought was a pivotal move. And that was bringing on Alex Kaczyniklic for Ben Pringle. And again, it's not that Ben Pringle had this terrible match, but Kaka gave us pace. And he might have stretched them a little bit. I actually DM Mike Gregg his thoughts on this, because when Kaka came on, the game opened up, Giannis. I'm curious your thoughts about him coming into the team when he entered the match.
Well, Pringle didn't have the greatest game of his life. I think we can all agree about that. Right. And you allow games like that. And that's why you've got strength. You try and have strength and depth. A lot of players would argue that, a lot of fans would argue that Kaka should be starting. I don't really have a problem either way. He certainly brought us, he gave us a little bit of energy off the bench, which we clearly needed. I felt at times in the first half, even in that last 10 minutes, we were far too narrow. And it's one thing that we tend to have a bad habit of doing. We did it last year. We don't try and stretch the field. When you've got players like Kearney and Pringle, you can stretch it. But to me, that wasn't – I see where Emilio's going with that one. But to me, that wasn't the pivotal substitution. Kaka gave us some energy. But I think the one that swung it was the one late on, which was Matt Smith being subbed. To me, that was a bigger problem for me personally.
Okay. And I had a feeling we would get there on Matt Smith. And listen, before we really, really delve into the substitution, I want to talk about and just go over with you because some of the opportunities. Matt Smith had several opportunities in the second half when Fulham were really on top. But in the 67th minute, he actually had a great chance to score. But his shot was saved by former Fulham goalkeeper David Stockdale. It was headed to him from Sean Hutchinson. What are your thoughts about this opportunity for Fulham?
Should have scored, and I think Smith will admit that. But, you got to finish your chances. But saying that, the flip side is at least we're creating them. So Smith's not scored. And I know he'll probably get up this morning and go, that's one I should have put away.
Giannis, you still with me? Okay, it looks like I might have lost Giannis. Giannis, dial back in because I'm not hearing you. We're having some technical difficulties, unfortunately. So I'm going to drop you off and then come back on, my friend. All right. Having some problems with Giannis's line, unfortunately. And that's what happens with new technology. We do have issues, but I'm glad that Giannis could talk about a little bit about Matt Smith. And for him, I shouldn't speak too much for Giannis, but I think I know where he's going with the substitution of Matt Smith going off and putting on Moussa Dembele. I don't think, when Giannis joins us, I think where he's going is I don't think he thought that Fulham should have taken off Matt Smith, which was unfortunate. I shouldn't say unfortunate. It was a decision, and we can second guess the decision, but once Giannis comes back on, I will go with him on that because I definitely want to get his thoughts on that. All right. We also move on later on in the match because Matt Smith did have another opportunity to score in the 78th minute. He had a real good chance. His header just misses left of the goal. This is set up again by Lasse Vigen Christensen. Okay. So, later on in the match, Fulham really put on the pressure. And I truly believe that Fulham were going to score. But it just, for whatever reason, it just wasn't in the cards. It wasn't in the cards in this match. And then unfortunately, we have to go to the very end of this match. And what's funny about this, leading up to the penalty, I truly believe that Fulham were the team more likely to score. And it was just trending that way. We were pinning them in. Whenever they were getting it out, it was going right back in. So Fulham were really in full control of the match at this point. So for them to get this goal late really, really is a sucker punch. And it's in the fourth minute of stoppage time. Sean Hutchinson fouls Luau just inside the box, and Brighton are awarded a penalty. Hamed scores a spot kick to win it for Brighton. And honestly, I've watched this back many, many times. And just these are my thoughts. I've seen still photos of this. I think he's outside the box. But to watch it as many times as I had to really get it down there, I could see why it was called, because it's very close. But, you know, the call didn't go our way, and he did foul him. You know, this was a legitimate foul. So, unfortunately for Fulham fans, we have to deal with this loss. And, you know, it really was a kick in the teeth, because I truly believe that Fulham were at least going to get a point and who knows, maybe win the match. But you got to give Brighton credit, because I thought they played well. And I'm not saying that they deserve the win, because when that happens at the end of the match, you know, it's a difficult situation. Anyways, I'm just waiting for Giannis to dial back in, and hopefully he will be able to come back in shortly. I'm not seeing him yet in my studio. He's saying that he's in, but hopefully he will be coming back in momentarily, and then I can talk to Giannis and we can continue on with the show. Okay. Well, while I wait for Giannis, let's move on, because I want to look at the stats for this match. And when Giannis gets back, I definitely will get his view of the end of this match. But if you look at the stats, it's actually very interesting. We'll start with the halftime stats. I found this interesting. Fulham had 48% of the possession to 52% for Brighton. Total shots, Fulham had 5, Brighton had 7. On target, Fulham had 3, Fulham only had 1. This is just halftime stats. Corners, they had 5, Fulham had 2. Crosses, they had 12, Fulham only had 6. And fouls were 3-2 in favor of Brighton. Those are the halftime stats. But when you look at the full-time stats, this will really indicate how Fulham really came back to this match. Fulham had 53% of the possession. Brighton had 47%. Total shots, Fulham had 13. Brighton had 15 shots on target. Fulham had 5. Brighton had 6. Shooting accuracy, Fulham were at 38%. Brighton were at 40%. Key passes were even at 12 apiece. Crosses, this is interesting. Brighton had 24, but Fulham had 19. Corners, Brighton had 10, Fulham only had 4, and fouls were even at 9. And what this shows me, again, it just shows that Fulham really came in to the play in the second half, and were more dominant in the second half. But it also shows for me that it was a pretty even match. But an interesting stat for me were the crosses, because this is something that Fulham struggled in last year. And we had many more crosses in that that definitely helped. All right, let me bring in Giannis.
Hey, Russ, we lost contact there, mate.
That's okay. That's okay, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good. I was saying at the time about Matt Smith's misses that
sure,
you know, at least we're creating chances. I mean, if we're creating chances and we're missing them, you know, you can say, well, at least we're creating the chances. I seem to remember a game a couple of years ago in the Premier League when we lost 3-0 to Southampton at St Mary's and we didn't have one shot on net. And you're not going to win games unless you actually create chances. So, I mean, to give him credit, yeah, he's hit one in the post first half, he's missed chances second half, but at least chances have been created. So that's, I mean, at least he's getting in the right areas to get on the end of the crosses. So, I mean, that you got to look at as a positive, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, Giannis. And, you know what, we are creating opportunities, we are creating chances. And I just talked about the end of the match, and I'll just ask you a simple question. Do you think Fulham were the team more than likely to score as you looked down the last 15 minutes of that match? That's what's frustrating for me.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, we had the better second half. We seem to have a little bit more energy. We created the more open cut chances. We looked more dangerous from set pieces. We were playing well, and it looked like if anybody was going to get the winner, it was going to be us. But of course, that wasn't. Unfortunately, that wasn't the bait. We got done in by a late one, for sure.
No, we definitely did, Giannis. And you know what's funny? I just want to say this. I want to thank my Cottage Talk co-host, because Giannis, after you dropped off the line to help me out, Mike Gregg actually tried dialing in, but he saw that you were on the line, and he dropped off. So, Mike, I want to thank you. He tried to give us a save, Giannis, which is very nice. But what's interesting? What's interesting is that we actually have another co-host on. I wasn't going to mention this because he was going to try to see if he could join us for 30 minutes, but Emilio Danella has joined us. Emilio, welcome to Cottage Talk.
Emilio!
Hey. Hello! Hello, Russ. Hello, Yanis. How are you guys doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, matey?
I'm very good. Despite yesterday's defeat, I'm actually not as downbeat as the rest of the world, from all accounts. You know, I'm trying to stay a little bit more positive and upbeat. But, yeah, I'm not doing too bad. I've had a family round at the moment. They're downstairs, so I've managed to get a 30-minute ticket to come and hear my thoughts on the show and hopefully keep the rest of the Fulham community more upbeat than what please. I was on Twitter the last 24 hours, you know?
Please give my love to the lovely Callie, please.
I will do. Thank you very much. Nice to see you a couple of weeks ago. It's fantastic to meet you up with you and Nina. We had a lovely evening that night, the four of us.
It was fantastic. Absolutely. Okay.
Emilio, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And listen, it was great that you and Yanis could meet with the lovely Callie and, of course, Nina as well. You guys all met, and I wish I was there with you, but I couldn't be. I know it's probably there in spirit, but I'm just glad that I could actually do this now with you because you were at the match, and Yanis and I watched the replay. So before we go any further, just share your overall thoughts on the match.
You know, the obvious reaction is we've lost again. Craven Cottage, once again, not a fortress, and we were diabolical. Not quite true. You know, I thought first half, we were slow off the mark as always. Didn't offer much. There were moments here and there. It's, you know, one notable thing, we weren't giving a ball away as cheaply as we were last season. So there are some positives we can talk about later. But first half, it was like the first home game of the season. It was a warm day. Nothing fancy. People still, you know, in holiday mode. So you never really play particularly well on the first game of the season. I know we beat Norwich 5-0 a few years ago on the first game of the season, but normally we don't normally start off well, nor do other clubs. But second half, we look like a different team. You know, a bit more energy, a bit more pace, a bit more belief. I think the goal spurred us on at halftime. And yeah, we were a different team, but there was a bit lack of cutting edge. You know, too many passes at times. You know, there's a lot of belief. There's a lot of anticipation of a goal coming, but it wasn't going to be there. And you know, we made tactical substitutions maybe a little bit too late in the game. Changes should have been made a lot, and I think we made changes sooner, we might have got a reward for our possession and domination in the second half. But as you know, at any level, including this one, if you don't take your chances or don't score from when you're on top of a game and got this advantage on your side, then you may pay the penalty. And literally, mind the pun, we did pay the penalty. And but again, it's a learning curve. But yeah, there are more positives than negatives. Considering where we were 3 months ago and where we are now, you're not going to suddenly become promotion candidates overnight. And fans have got to be a bit more patient. You know, I'm not Kit's biggest fan, as you know, but you know, I'm prepared to give him 10, 12 games. Like I've said right through the summer, I said, if they persevered with him, let's give him that chance. Whether he'll survive or not is another matter. But 2 games in, 1 point, 1 defeat, not good enough already. But the pressure's on for him. But there are more positives than I'd like people to think. I think people just felt it was the end of the world 24 hours ago. No, it's not the world.
Okay, very, very good there, Emilio. And listen, right back to you, because before Yanis dropped off, we were talking about our conversation. You and I had a conversation last night about Kaká coming on and you feeling that he possibly changed the game. I know we're going back to it, but I want you to share your thoughts on him coming in and what you thought that meant to Fulham in the second half.
So rather than it Kaká change the game, more the substitution changed the game. So
the substitution
by taking off Pringle, who I thought was very poor. I was expecting more from him yesterday, but I'm not sure what role he thought he was playing or what leadership role he was playing in that middle of the park. You've got Ross McCormack was constantly playing too deep and getting in the way. I just thought we were a bit too congested in midfield in that first half, and nobody quite knew, well, do I take the initiative? Do I make a move? Do I make the pass? Do I go wide? Do I go centre? No one seemed to know what to do. And I think that sort of made it a little bit too packed and congested. It meant we held the ball better than we have done in the past, looking for ideas, but there was just too many bodies around us. As soon as Pringle went off, it felt the Kearneys and the LBC sort of had a bit more space. Kaká playing where he normally plays best, playing wide, didn't actually see much of the ball, admittedly, but that gave O'Hara, the triangle of O'Hara, Kearney and LVC to have a little bit more space, more possession, more belief, more determination, just no more positive adjectives. And it just felt there was more space in that midfield, and Brighton were then backing off. Brighton defence midfield weren't able to get anywhere close to us. It just felt there was just too packed a midfield initially in the first half and the first 10 minutes of the second half. And as we started getting on top, you saw a different LVC. Kearney making some positive runs. O'Hara finding those two guys, and just felt there was a bit more movement, a bit more athleticism within the team. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, it just felt there was too many players in midfield. And that was my reaction. I thought by Kaká going wide, it freed up the Kearneys and LBC, and we saw the best of them too in the last 25, 30 minutes of the half. You know, again, we lacked a bit of cutting edge. We tried going down route one. Smith worked his socks off, but, you know, to be honest, he was never going to score in a month of Sundays yesterday, so he should have come off a lot sooner. I would have changed it after 65, 70 minutes, not 82, 83. But on the whole, if we can get that balance in midfield more spot on going forward, then the goals will come. We've just got to be a bit more patient. Defensively, we did look a little bit naive at times, but I thought Hutchinson had a good game. Unfortunately, other than the mistake he made at the end, he looked more calm and composed. But, you know, other than that nervous start at the beginning and the disappointing end, tell me, when did we think Brighton were good enough to win the game outright? I don't think they did, on balance. A draw would have been a fair result, but when you're on top with possession and pushing forward and trying to create opportunities, you've got to make one or two of them count. And unfortunately, we didn't. But hopefully time will come. It's only the second league game of the season. That's why, let's not overreact. There were more positives there than negatives.
Okay, very interesting take there, Emilio, and thank you for sharing that. And Giannis, before we move on, I want to get your reaction to what Emilio just shared about, again, the substitution possibly changing the game, not Kaká, the person, more what taking Pringle off and have him more wide might have opened up the space. So, again, I know we've talked a little bit about it, but I want to get your reaction to what Emilio just shared.
Yeah, I agree with Emilio. I mean, it gave us a little bit more width. We were playing too narrow, and Pringle wasn't having the game of his life. I think he could accept that readily. And Kit had to make an adjustment. And as I said earlier, I think that, you know, some would argue that maybe Kaká should be starting anyway. But he showed enough when he came on. He gave us a little, you know, a bit of a blood transfusion that got us going. And all of a sudden, you got wide threats. Their wide midfield looked really susceptible. And now that's bringing their fullbacks into play. Don't particularly rate their fullbacks at any rate. So, you know, it gave us the injection that we needed. And I thought we kicked on from there. You know, we created chances after that. Kaká played well and made obviously a difference. And as I said earlier, I really only thought there was going to be one winner. If it wasn't going to end in a draw and we didn't finish one of our chances, I thought that we'd end up coming out with the 3 points. But unfortunately for the lads, it wasn't to be.
Okay, very interesting. And Emilio, back to you. You know, again, you're there. You're watching this match. Did you feel at any time, you know, especially late in the match, that Brighton were going to win this match? Because, again, it really was a sucker punch.
Yes, I think they could have. I think knowing how susceptible our defence is and how prone to mistakes we can make, or when we're under pressure, it just takes a fraction of a second to make a mistake. A fluke goal, a penalty, a ricochet, anything can happen. So whilst it's 1-1, there's always the opportunity for your opposition, however good or bad they're playing, to nick it, and which is what Brighton actually did. But, you know, when you've got that possession in the second half, and we did dominate for the best part of it, you've got to make that possession count. You know, Stockdale made a good point-blank save from Smith. You know, Smith could have done better on a couple of other occasions. McCormack was wasteful in many other situations, so he's the one I can point my fingers at, because obviously he's our star player. And, you know, Brian Ruiz last season was being vilified for not justifying his price tag. Then we all have a right to blame Russ McCormack when he's underperforming or not doing what we expect him to do. But whilst it's 1-1, it can go either way. And I agree with Giannis, I only saw one winner. But, you know, it didn't feel like we were ever going to score. As much as we tried hard, it just needed a bit more quality and maybe a little bit more less wasteful at times. We got into good positions, but the final ball, casual finishing from Ross McCormack, complacency, arrogance, bit of everything. Just you can't afford to do that when you're 1-1. You've got to do the bread and butter of football, is to do what you're best at, cry about those opportunities and bend the ball in the back of the net. Doesn't matter how you get them, as long as you score. But whilst it's 1-1, until that whistle is blown, anything can happen.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I hear you on that. And Giannis, I want to go over to you, because, again, I want to you can add your thoughts on what Emilio just shared. But I think the two of you are going to disagree on this based on my conversation with Emilio and what you shared. Let's now talk about the substitution of Matt Smith and Moussa Dembélé coming on. You had mentioned earlier in the show that you disagree with this. So share your thoughts on it, and then I'll go to Emilio.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do disagree with it because I said to you last week, Russ, I don't think Mac is fit. He didn't look fit against Palace. He looks like he's carrying weight. He didn't have a particularly good game on Tuesday. He didn't play well against Cardiff, and he didn't play well yesterday either. And this, you know, you've got the opportunity to make a substitution. And as a coach, I'm looking at, okay, who's your best option to score? Well, you know, whether you like the fact that he missed chances or not, it was Matt Smith. You know, he'd missed chances, but he was still in getting in positions to miss chances. But he was there. And Kit, to me, bottled it. He totally bottled it. Because he thought, okay, you know, Mac has just signed a contract. Mac is my most important player. And logically, any coach would tell you, it doesn't matter who's playing on the field. If a player's not playing well, you take them off. And he had the chance to send a really, really clear message, which is, you know what, you might be my best player, but I don't think you're playing well enough. I'm going to sub you, whether you bloody will like it or not. And he didn't. He bottled it. He took Smith off. And if you listen to the commentary, with Gentleman Jim and Sean Davis, they're questioning it. So what's happened here? Why has Smith been taken off? Why has Russ not been taken off? To me, it was a ridiculous move. And it made no sense because all of a sudden, if I'm in the Brighton back four, I'm thinking, oh, thank God for that. We're not going to have these crosses whipping in now. He's killing us in the air. I mean, Mac's not going to get anything off us. And Moussa's cold coming off the bench. So you know what? We're going to get at least a point. And who knows? If we're lucky enough, we might get him, he can get through. There's no way in hell I'd have made that substitution. No way in hell. Mac was not playing well. And he's not played well since the start of the season. And I don't think he's match fit. I really don't. Oh. So I don't. I seriously question the decision to take Smith off.
Okay, very, very interesting way to look at that. And so for you, it really is about McCormack. And over to you, Emilio, what are your thoughts about what Giannis just shared? You know, he just feels that he should have taken off McCormack.
It's one of those ones where I agree with Giannis. If you want to make a bold statement at the beginning of the season, that was your opportunity. But last thing we also want to be doing is creating a bit of disharmony and sort of instability within the club. My view is Smith should have come off after 65 minutes. He ran his socks off, not to much effect, really. Let's be honest. Yesterday he wasn't having his best day. He was getting out muscled a little bit too easy, especially in the first half. He got easily knocked off the ball in the halfway line, which led to their goal. Their goal in the first half. So you know he's got to take some responsibility for that. But on the whole, I would have taken Smith after 65 minutes. Smith should not be playing for 85 minutes in a game. Sorry. End of story. It's Smith shouldn't be starting first and foremost. And if he does start, you know, after 65 minutes, take him off. He was never going to score in a million hours yesterday. If the game continued for the next 2-3 weeks, would never have scored. And his reaction on the pitch showed it right in front of me when he's just knocked a little header sideways and I hope they'll go in the bottom corner. He just had his head on the grass, looked up, patted his hand on the floor as if to say, it's not my day today, right in front of me. And I wish I'd taken a picture to prove that. But he should have been taken off at 65 minutes. Ross McCormack, play where you're most effective and bring on Dembélé, who would have added a bit more strength, guile, and caused more of a threat physically. The Brighton were tiring as well, and we didn't take advantage of that. Ross McCormack, I agree, had a very, very poor game again, but he can create something out of nothing. And I would have maybe put him in a more, playing where he's where you'd punish you. You know, play him in a centre forward role and put Dembélé to run around, get those free kicks, get those corners, put a bit fresh legs, maybe take a Corley Woodrow, maybe take a double substitution, if anything, maybe put a controversial statement. But I wouldn't have taken Ross McCormack off despite how poor he was playing. Smith should have gone after 65 minutes, not 83.
Okay, now what's interesting. Go ahead, Giannis. I'm sorry. I'll let you respond.
I hear what you say, but do you not find it concerning that our two starting strikers are clearly not fit?
If I look at McCormack, first thing I saw him is what I said 12 months ago. He's a fat lump of you know what. That was the first thing I saw him. He looked overweight, didn't I don't know, it felt like it was, he was jogging around, if anything, and the frustration appeared first, you know, throughout the whole game yesterday. All I kept seeing McCormack was throwing his toys out of the pram, having a go at the referee when decisions weren't going his way, too casual when he had sort of half chances, when opportunities when he could have just quickly turned and shoot straight away. He wanted the extra touch. To me, I agree with you, it doesn't look fit, but it also looks overweight. You know, you can be unfit, but, you know, with the right level of weight. But he's carrying a lot of weight, excess weight, like he had, like he did 12 months ago. And we didn't really start seeing the best of him until September, October last season. I was very critical of him. I was one of his biggest haters 12 months ago. And we paid all this money for what? But he suddenly, you know, trimmed down, got the energy that, you know, that we expected of him, and then became a little bit more of a threat, and suddenly became our sort of our key player. Maybe he needs to kick up the bottom again, start losing that weight. But it doesn't feel 100% fit. And Smith yesterday, after an hour, it was evident to me that he couldn't run any further. Sweat was falling off. Actually, the sweat drops falling onto the pitch. Take him off, for goodness sake. It wasn't working. Yeah. We're on top now. Change it. Put some energy, put some pace, put some another option there. And we had a good, fairly strong bench yesterday. I don't think we took advantage of that either.
Guys, this is a very interesting discussion, and I want to just share something that actually a message I just received, and this is a very, very good point. And Emil, this goes back to you might have seen the message itself from our co-host Mike Gregg. He brings up a very good point. We shouldn't be afraid to take off Ross, Emilio. You know, if he's not playing well, you should be able to take him off.
And I think I'm trying to put where we are in the season to start avoid making controversial decisions, because we don't want to start upsetting the apple cart. We don't want to start upsetting the dressing room. You know, we've got a squad that's starting to be assembled, youth, British, good prospects. We need stability and we need unity in that team. If Kidd had made a controversial, bold statement by taking Ross McCormack off, created alarm bells in the squad. I thought we still could have won by making a Smith substitution a lot sooner, maybe playing Ross McCormack where in his favoured position. And the frustration yesterday was coming down in too deep far too often, especially first half. That created that sort of congestion that I was mentioning earlier. Kearney, Pringle, LVC, where the hell are they all meant to be playing? They wanted to sort of make something out of nothing, start having a run, going wide, going centre, but all they kept seeing in front of them was Ross McCormack in their way, obstructing them. And at the time, it just felt as unnecessary extra passes. Short, you know, good to keep possession, don't get me wrong, but at times, McCormack, you know, you're not where you're meant to be here now. We've got good opportunity, we've got Bryce on the racks, and you're in the centre. Go forward, for goodness sake, and play in your favourite position. But he's not fit, and I thought Smith wasn't 100% fit yesterday. It was very apparent after 60 minutes. He needed to come off, and that was disappointing. You had the chance to change it, Kit, and maybe you bottled that instead of changing McCormack.
Okay, very interesting. And I appreciate the back and forth going on here. Giannis, I'll give you the final word, then we'll move on.
Well, I'm thinking of a poem here for Ross. For Mr. McCormack, roses are red, violets are blue. You're overweight. Get fit in a hurry. I mean, We're playing in the championship. You're telling me we've got two unfit bloody strikers. We've had a close season to get ready, and we've got strikers who aren't fit. And we're hoping, and as fans, we're sitting here going, well, it'd be great if we finished top six. I got absolutely pilloried, Russ, when I suggested that that McCormack was overweight. And he is overweight, and he's not fit.
He is overweight.
He's overweight. And you know what? We're not going to score it. Right now, he doesn't look like he could score in a brothel, and then anything else. So the point being...
It's deja vu again from last season.
It is.
No, 12 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rather ridiculous. Because you know what? And this is going to lead on to my rant on Kit later. Because if I see it, I look at it and go, you know what? Be careful who you're throwing, which eggs you're throwing, and make sure that if you're going to throw the eggs, make sure they're not you're throwing the rotten eggs at the right people. Because I think he completely lost the plot yesterday. I'd be as a coach, I'd be livid. I'd be going, what have you been eating all summer? Freaking, what do you want? Quadruple burgers? There's no excuse. It's not like the old days in the 1970s where Frank Worthington or Tony Curry would come back 25 pound overweight and say, oh, we'll have four pre-season games, you'll get fit. These are supposed to be, you know, high-level professionals who are quicker, bigger, stronger than they ever were, and you got players coming back overweight? But to me, it's an indictment, and to me, it's totally unacceptable, especially because the Championship is considered to be better than many of the Premier Leagues in Europe. So why do we have starting strikers being overweight? To me, it's not acceptable.
I think the last thing I want to add on this debate as well is I'll send this to you yesterday, Russ. If you've got Matt Smith, you know, being your automatic starting 11 and the central defence, or the full defence as we've got there, you're never going to get a playoff, let alone promotion. You know, that's not, you're not going to worry opposing teams when you've got those defenders to play against, and you've got Matt Smith as your target man, 25 goal man. You know, it's not going to happen. So it's a deja vu from 12 months ago. Russ McCormack unfit this time last year. Took him 2 months to get back to the play that we were expecting to be. And I think we met at this rate, unless someone does something pretty damn quick, we're going to have to experience the same problems this season. And again, that accounts for a lot of the reasons why we had only 1 point from the first eight games last season. So
wow, very, very interesting. Again, we're taking some shots at Ross McCormack, but honestly, I think he deserves it, especially in this match. And guys, I'm going to agree with you. I think he looks overweight the way he's running. For whatever reason, Emilio, I think you're right about this, because I think it did affect the beginning of the season. Let's hope it doesn't affect us moving forward in the beginning of this season. But guys, before we wrap up, just going through the key moments, we do have to talk about the last key moment. And obviously, it's the winning goal. What set up the winning goal? And Emilio, I'm going to ask it to you this way. I've watched this probably back and forth about 100 times. And in the end, I think they got it wrong, because I think he was outside the box. That's my opinion. But I had to really look at it very closely. So the fact that I had to look at it so many times tells me that possibly at that moment, the ref got it right. I think this was a difficult one to call. So I understand why he called it, because it's very close. But I want to get your thoughts. And do you blame the ref here, or do you think he really had no choice here?
From where I sit, I'm more on in the other side of the pitch. My automatic reaction was that it was a foul. You know, I couldn't quantify whether it was actually in the box or not, but automatically I thought it's a penalty. That was my automatic reaction. But and then the referee took a few moments to actually make his decision. So the lino should have had a much better view. On second-hand review and with the luxury of replays, it felt more out of the box than in the box. But it happened so quick. And, you know, again, it's a rash tackle, a rash foul. Probably didn't need to make that type of foul. And that was disappointing for Hodgson, because I thought he had a fairly steady and competent game yesterday. Looked more assured of the two central defenders. But, you know, again, when it's 1-1, it just takes one little mistake. I think it was outside the box, but I didn't have the luxury of a replay at the time. And the only thing I'd question the referee was, he was a bit far away from the play when the incident occurred. So I didn't have a view whether it was inside the outside the box. So certainly, he certainly couldn't have had that view. So if the lino didn't actually give him any advice or steer, then the referee took a very bold call to give a penalty. But he wasn't close enough to the incident, which is, if you look back in the replay, and if it was as close cut as it implied, then the referee should always give the benefit of the doubt to the defending team there, rather than giving a bold penalty like he did bang in injury time. So, but again, you won all. If you took your chances earlier, or be more creative and a bit more, make your possession count, that maybe that penalty would have been the consolation goal, as opposed to a goal that loses us a point. So it swings and roundabouts. You know, I'm not going to blame the referee. We should have at least been ahead at the point of that incident. Maybe we would have taken a different approach, not to make a foul, as opposed to taking a rash decision not to lose the game. So tactically, it changes the dimensions. If you're 2-1 up, maybe we would have had a different approach to that foul. Maybe Hudson would let him go in the hope that nothing comes of it. The 1-1, you don't want to get them to score a goal. Let me make a foul, or let me make the tackle. He failed miserably and unfortunately conceded a penalty. So you saw the reaction from the players. I don't know if you were able to see that on the replay, but
yes,
all the players' hands, you know, they were on, as if it felt like they'd lost a playoff final. That's how much it meant to them. So that the positive for me was the unity amongst the players. They knew they'd blown at least a point here. If it was just our beginning of the season, it's meaningless game, we've got plenty of games ahead of us, don't worry, we'll pick up next week. You saw the reaction from half a dozen players. and who was consoling one another. That showed me there's unity in that dressing room at the moment.
Okay, very good. You know, again, it's a great point, because if they scored, then it is, you know, again, it's a consolation goal. It's a point, but you're putting more of the onus on Fulham to basically score, you know, take advantage of their opportunities, be more clinical. And then maybe they're not in that situation. That's a very interesting point there, Emilio. Giannis, I'll give you the final word on this situation. And do you blame the ref, or do you say, you know, similar to me, you know, it's a difficult call. It's a difficult call. Or do you say, you know what, you can't make that call there? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm not going to blame the ref. I think it was a split decision call. We don't have the benefit of instant replay. It's done at ultra fast speed. He's made a judgment call. He thinks it's inside the box. He's given the penalty. I mean, I think in the season, things have a way of evening themselves out. We'll get calls that maybe we shouldn't have done. We'll have calls against them which maybe shouldn't have been given. This was the latter. He's given it. It's against the run of play. They've scored. You know, I think there are much bigger problems than the fact that we gave away the penalty to lose this game. The management needs to look at, rather than really, a one incident that could have gone either way. I mean, if I'd have been Chris Hughton, I'd have been very disappointed if I hadn't got the penalty, to be frank. So I don't have any complaints. I think it was a split call, and the ref's given the decision that he thought was the best one.
Okay, very, very good. Okay, and I agree with you. I can't blame the ref here. That's just me. I can't blame the ref, because it took me forever to really make a judgment myself watching the replay over and over again. So it's difficult when you're there, and it happened so fast. It was very close. So I understand why he made the call. But in the end, I'm being honest here. I've watched it so many times. I don't think he made the right call, but at that point, it probably was the right call, because he couldn't. That was the call he went with. I can't really blame him for that. All right, guys. We only have, we're going to go a little over, not too much over. And the way I'm going to do this, Giannis, we did this last week. What we're going to do is we're going to rate the players. I want you to rate them all together. I also want you to give your man of the match, Emilio, the same. And then after that, to finish up the show, because I know you want to talk about Kit, I'll let you talk about Kit. Does that sound like a good plan there, Giannis?
Fabulous.
Okay. All right. I want you to rate all the players together. You know, just spend a little bit, just give your ratings, and also give your man of the match. And then, Emilio, I'll go to you.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll start with Bettinelli and Nett. I'm going to give him a 7. I thought he looked pretty confident. He's obviously just signed that contract. I don't think there's anything he could have done about the goals, to be honest. I commanded his box well, so that worked well. The back four, Richards, Hutchinson, Bodurov, and Vossa. Richards, 6. Hutchinson, 6. Bodurov, 6. Vossa, 6. I don't think they really did anything too wrong. I thought Richardson did a good. Luolo is one of the better wingers you're going to find in the division. And I thought he did all right there. Bodurov, there was fault laid against him for the first goal, although it really started with Smith. Hutchinson, obviously, with the penalty. Vossa did okay. I don't think they did a bad job. The midfield, you had Kearney and O'Hara, LVC and Pringle. I'm going to give O'Hara and Kearney 8s, Christensen a 6.5, Pringle a 5. I thought O'Hara was our best player again. Tremendous signing. Kearney's finishing was excellent. Lots of energy. Christensen, not his busiest game, but he's only going to get better, and he's usually one of our most consistent players. Pringle didn't have a particularly good game, hence the substitution. Up front, McCormack for me gets a 3. Smith gets a 6. Smith gets a 6 because he got himself into positions to take chances that he didn't finish, but at least he got there and he did work hard. McCormack looked, he looked like he'd taken he should have taken a train from London to Manchester and ended up in Dover on the cliffs. I don't know what was going on there. And I thought Kaká came on. I'm going to give him a 7. I thought he made a fundamental difference when he came on. Dembélé, a 6. Lots of energy, but couldn't get us anything. But those are my ratings.
Okay, and if I remember correctly, you said O'Hara was your man of the match?
Yeah, absolutely. Super game again.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Okay, Emilio, over to you.
Bettinelli, I'll give him 6.5. I thought he couldn't do much with the penalty, obviously with the penalty and the sort of the first goal. But there was a couple, about three instances I counted where he could have called for the defenders to say let the ball go out of play, but he didn't give the call. Defenders nervously headed the ball out for a corner, which then resulted in us having a lot of corners against us. 3 instances I counted where he should have called out for the defender not to clear the ball. But so I'll give 6.5. Other than that, he didn't really have much to do, let's be honest. So I think Jazz Richards had a very good second half. I know, you know, people are getting on the back of Jazz Richards, but to Giannis's point, defending against Lualua is never an easy job. And I thought second half, Jazz Richards offered us options. He was coming over the halfway line, kept ball well, kept defending comfortably. Could have got maybe a couple of better crosses, but no, I'm giving him a 7 because I thought he had a very good and capable second half. Our best defender yesterday. Bodrov, I'm giving a 5. I thought he looked, you know, at fault with a goal, slipped. He looked nervous. Even when we had a corner, there was one instant when he had a free header, I think it was, and he just completely scuffed it wide. When if that was Hutchinson, that probably could have been on the back of the net or on target. So Bodrov, I'm not comfortable him in that position. You know, if I had the choice of him or Hutchinson, I actually prefer Hutchinson. Hutchinson, I think, is the most improved of the 3 central defenders in the last 12 months. It might not actually say much, but with Byrne, Bodrov, and Hutchinson, if I had a choice of one of the 3 as a must-have, I'd choose Hutchinson all the way. He's the most improved, looks stronger, more capable of scoring from set pieces as well, and just has more of a sort of a more confident approach when he sort of, you know, trucks up and down the pitch. I actually think he's got the potential of becoming a steady defender, but it's a shame he conceded the penalty. So I'm giving him a 6.5, but if it wasn't for the penalty, I thought he had a fairly comfortable game. Bosa, 5. I thought he was skimmed time and time again throughout the game. Left out of position at times when he was in halfway into the opposing penalty area when he shouldn't actually be back on the halfway line in the event that Brighton had a breakaway. So hopelessly out of position on too many occasions, and we need to replace him immediately. And that's a key thing. So for me, a 5, very disappointing game. O'Hara, man of the match for me. I'm giving him an 8.5. Always looking for the ball, always hungry, always looking forward, never looking sideways or backwards. Rarely gave the ball away, good tackles, defended well when necessary. And set pieces could have been occasionally a little bit better, but on the whole, you know, by far best player on the pitch. Kearney, good second half. You know, as soon as Kaká came on, he had more freedom, more space, made some good runs, scored a good goal as well. So I'm giving him a 7.5. Like the look of him and very promising going forward. He's got goals in him, which is important. And we've got LBC. Better second half as soon as it was when Kaká came on, but I'm only going to give him a 6.5. You know, there was some good movement, some good touches, but if he was given more, if it was a formation of Kaká playing instead of Pringle, I think we would have seen a stronger LBC and probably getting into some interesting forward positions. But on the whole, I think we're going to see the best of him over the next few weeks. I'm sure of that. And Pringle, I'm giving him a 5 again. Disappointing. I expect a lot more. And maybe fans' expectations are too much of Ben Pringle. Let's be honest. He only played for Rotherham United last season. He wasn't an ex-Premiership player or players had England under 21 caps, etc. His players come from Rotherham United, so we mustn't forget that. So expectations can't be too high of him. And maybe I expected a little bit too much of him, and he was quite poor yesterday. There was one free kick that he was wasteful in a promising position second half, and he then had the audacity to blame the attackers for not chasing the ball, when actually his cross was very, very poor and weak. So only a 5 for me. Smith, I'm giving him a 6. Worked hard, but again, Smith is Smith. What more can you ask for? So either you're going to be effective or you're not. And yesterday, like I said earlier, he was never going to score in a month of Sundays. Ross McCormack, I'm giving him a 4 for the reasons we discussed earlier. Kaká, you know, offered a bit more width, but didn't really get into the game, in my opinion. And, you know, I like Kaká, but I was saying to the guys around me yesterday, it's 3 seasons we've seen of Kaká, but have we actually seen him develop, progress? Not really. he's as good or bad now as he was three seasons ago. I feel this is his season. If he doesn't cut it now for Fulham, then I think we'll see the end of him next season. I don't think I haven't seen a progression of Alex Kakaniklić, which is very disappointing. And Dembele, I'm going to give him a six. Didn't really have enough time to stamp his authority on the game, but he did create a nuisance within the first few minutes. We won a couple free kicks, corners, and so forth. And had he played for 25 minutes instead of 10 minutes, who knows? We might have seen a different end result.
Okay, very good. And you know, you guys are in unison when it comes to Jamie O'Hara. You gave him your man of the match. I have him as the man of the match. Roger Lewis on College Talk Facebook page, he said O'Hara without a doubt, the signing of the window. And it's going to be difficult to really disagree with Roger on that. I think he's been tremendous. And, you know, that to me is one of the most encouraging signs is the play of Jamie O'Hara, because again, I don't think this is the same team. You know, again, after the match, I understand fans are very angry and upset and thinking this is the same old team. One of the reasons why I don't think it's the same team is Jamie O'Hara. Jamie O'Hara is not going to allow that because of the way he plays. Nothing against Scott Parker, different type of player. Scott Parker can still help Fulham. But Jamie O'Hara, to me, is more like Danny Murphy, can really control the play and dictate the play. So for me, Jamie O'Hara could be Fulham's best signing. And, you know, I think I'll be proven right by the end of the season, but we'll see. All right, guys, to finish up the show, maybe spend about 5 minutes talking about Kit. So, Giannis, I know that you have a rant about Kit. I want you to rate him, but I also want a Giannis rant. So feel free to share your thoughts on Kit.
Okay, I'm gonna give Kit a three, and I'm gonna start from the top. You know, first game of the season, he's talked about a fortress, some bloody fortress that showed up to turned out to be when half an hour in, you are getting your asses kicked at home at the Cottage by Brighton, and they're not even one of the best sides in the division. So you got that number one, okay? So that annoyed me. Number two, the fact that you've got two strikers who are clearly not fit. Well, the players have agents. I know they've got trainers. I know they've got preseason. I know where they went to Austria, Bostria, Zostria, Madagascar. I don't care where they went. They've gone all that way, and they've still come back, and they're still not fit. So that's unacceptable, right? Number three, I didn't like the substitution of Matt Smith. I think he should have grown some balls and said, "Take." So you want to send a statement? I don't care about rocking the boat. If the players aren't playing well, if the players aren't pulling their weight, take their asses off the ground. Take them off. Get Corley Woodrow on. Get Dembele on. Get players on who are fit, as opposed to what was going on out there. But my big, big rant, number four, is going to surround two particular quotes here, Russ. Okay, I'm going to read you two quotes. I mean, you can hear this. This is quote number one. And this is from a manager yesterday. And he said, and I quote, "I told the players after the game, I have to take responsibility for this one. I left the midfield too open. It went against the principles I've always worked to, and it has given me a rude awakening. I won't be doing that against the big teams. You have to make sure you fill the midfield and don't get outnumbered. I wanted to be positive, but that has taught me a lesson." That was Tony Pulis after the game against City. Second quote is this: "Two games, two defeats we did not expect. We have to discuss with the players how we go on. It was the same in preseason, and you hoped it would change, but it's not changing. Myself as well, I am responsible for that, no doubt. They can talk and I can talk. Together we have to find out if we can find the solution. Otherwise, we have no chance." That was Dick Advocaat after the defeat against Norwich City yesterday. Now, why do I mention that? Well, after the game yesterday, we had this quote, this ridiculous quote, and it is as follows. Where is it? "I've got no argument with the award of the penalty, but I'm not very happy with the defending to give it away. Hutch knows it was a rash challenge that we didn't need at that stage of the game. Loa had towed it away and it was going out for a goal kick. It's hard to stop yourself once you're committed, but it wasn't what we needed," end of quote. Now, the best managers in the world, or the best managers, will be pissed off by what happened with the penalty. Don't get me wrong. The defending for this first game, goal, don't get me wrong. But what you do is in a post-match conference, you say, you know what? We gave up two disappointing goals. We have to brush it off. We're disappointed. We're going to the KC Stadium on Wednesday night. We're going to work hard on the training field for the next two days, and we're going to get it right, and we'll be ready for Hull City away from home on the Wednesday night. A collective effort. But oh no, right. He didn't. He decided he was going to throw Hutchinson under the bus, and he threw Bodyarov under the bus. Well, guess what? If you're going to air your dirty laundry, do it in private. Don't do it in public. You want to talk about sending a message to players? Screw the fact that McCormack and Smith weren't taken off and sending a message. What sort of message does it send to your players when you deliberately and explicitly isolate players for mistakes they made in the game? Did anybody talk about the fact that the midfield was as flat as a pancake in the first half? Did anybody talk about the fact that the shape was all wrong and we were playing now? Did anybody talk about the fact that the substitution, him turning around and saying, well, maybe taking Smith off was the wrong decision because Mac was doing nothing? No, but what he did do is he threw two players under the bus for isolated, for individual mistakes. And to me, that is absolutely wrong. And honestly, he deserves the dunce hat for that. You send the wrong message to your players, because you know what? Hutchinson comes out of that stadium and Bodyarov, they're going to read this in the media. They read this. Now, they're still young players. How do they feel? You don't see Mourinho or Pellegrini. You don't see the top managers in the world say, you know what? That was a shit pass. That was a terrible tackle. What was he thinking? He'll let them yell and scream in private. But to the public, to the media, you give a different spin. By throwing his players under the bus was the wrong message. And that's why Kit deserves the GOAT of the Day award. For me, that was the wrong move. There were much bigger problems that led up. Forget the second goal. There were many more problems that really should be focused on rather than picking on Bodyarov, even though, let's not forget, it was Smith that lost the challenge in the first place that led to Bodyarov giving for the first goal. And it was Hutchinson that got caught because the midfield hadn't dropped in time for him to have to make the challenge on Luala in the first place. So I'm really upset with what Kit did there. I think it was the wrong move at the wrong time. I think he should do a U-turn. And I hope he learns the lesson, because if he wants to lose his dressing room, that's the way he's going to lose it when he starts picking on players in public. That will lose the dressing room.
Emilio, before I go to you, I want to respond to Giannis on this. Giannis, I agree with you 100% on airing your dirty laundry. You know, listen, I'm in New England, you know, different sport. Bill Belichick would never throw a player under the bus. Never. He'd take responsibility on himself. He'd blame himself. He would do it in general terms. He would never throw a player under the bus. I don't like that. I wish he didn't do that. I agree with you on that. He should be criticized. He should not be doing that. You keep everything in-house, you know, because players are going to read this. I've seen the quotes. I've seen the headlines of Kit doing this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Then you read the quote. He actually did say this. And for me, I agree with you. It sends a bad message. I wish he didn't do it. And I hope he learns from it and does not do it again. Emilio, I want to go to you. Give me your thoughts on Kit, Ray Kit, but also on what Giannis just shared about Kit in his presser.
Yeah, but talk about the interview after the game. So, you know, I totally agree with a pair of you guys. It's, you know, you don't throw that dirty laundry in public. It stays behind closed doors. It stays very private. And it goes back to my point where as soon as that penalty was conceded, you saw everyone's heads drop naturally. Disappointment felt like you've lost promotion or you've lost a playoff final. That's how important it meant to all the players. And maybe Hutton in particular it looked like he was inconsolable at one point. And maybe he knows that his days could be numbered, which will be disappointing. But we all know that we need to get stronger defenders. But that was uncharacteristic of Kit as well. So it's, you know, if he's one who tends to not do things very bold, that's a very bold statement he said literally verbally. So I'm right. I'm surprised he said that, because he tends to be a little bit more conservative with his hand movements during the game. He's very motionless, doesn't have much animated activity on the byline. And you know, maybe it was uncharacteristic. Got to be sense of frustration, but why did we get into a position where 1-1 at home, first game of the season against an average team, that you haven't killed the game off? That's where, you know, Hutchinson may not have committed himself for that foul, like I said earlier, had we been 2-1 up, or possibly more. So the fact that we were 1-1, Hutchinson felt a need to commit to a tackle, mistimed it, and unfortunately conceded a penalty. But, You know, it just it was disappointing. But overall, I'm going to give Kit probably a 5. You know, nothing different to last season per se. I was disappointed with the timing of his substitutions. You know, like I've said before, if Smith had come off sooner, we may have had more chance to have won that game. We'd have had more cutting edge, more energy, more pace. And the fact that LBC and Kearney had a lot more space as soon as the substitution was made, you know, who knows? We should have made, if we want to make a bold substitution, make a double substitution there and then. But as soon as Smith came off, Chris Hughton, more experience, he made an opposing substitution himself, which actually may have resulted in him winning the 3 points. So again, experience was very evident yesterday. Kit's a long way to go yet from where he needs to be. And Chris Hughton's been around the blocks, you know, more years experience, and made a more creative substitution, which at the end won him the 3 points. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we saw that starting lineup with the players that we've got, I don't think many people would have been disappointed. Maybe the Smith is starting, you know, as part of the 11-man team. That may have thrown out most of the doubt amongst the supporters. But on the whole, the midfield on paper strong. Defensively, we've got no one else to play in those positions. So to be honest, if the management team aren't getting off their backsides to make some of these key signings, you know, we've had 3 months to do something about it, and here we are, middle of August, 2 league games in, and we're defensively no different than we were 3 months ago. So that's where I got frustrated. But I'm not measuring him yesterday based on where we are now. Literally, on yesterday's performance, I think if he'd made those decisions sooner, maybe we would have got a different end result. I think we could have won that game yesterday. I think it was there for the taking. We were dominating.
Yes.
Change it and change it quick. Don't keep persevering and I hope that goal is going to come. It was a very evident, like I said, Matt Smith was never going to score yesterday, so should have changed it sooner. And he was knackered. He was absolutely knackered. And, you know, we can see that, you know, across the stadium. Why can't Kit Simons, his manager, see that? It puzzles me. So, on the whole, you know, 5 out of 10, but you could have won that game, Kit Simons, yesterday, and you could have got one of those 5 wins out of 10 that everyone is saying that you need to get to secure your job. But, you know, 2 games down, no wins, the pressure's on.
The pressure's totally on. There's no question about it, Emilio, because, listen, these 10 matches, I think, are vital. If, you know, if we're hoping to get promotion, you know, again, we all want promotion, but we need to have a decent start, and we're already in the hole a little bit, you know, after 2 matches. And then again, we're now going to be facing Hull on Wednesday night, and that won't be easy at all. But listen, guys, let's wrap up the show. Giannis, any final thoughts before we go?
No, apart from Emilio, absolute pleasure as ever. Russ, absolute pleasure. Come on, you whites. Let's go and get 3 points from those Tiggers on Wednesday night. And hopefully we'll have something good to cheer about. And there's a couple of actually, with the transfer deadline, it's looking like Tim Ream might be coming in. But I'm hoping that the second signing that Kit was talking about is Dwight Gale, because we desperately need some scoring punch, and I think he'd fit the bill.
Okay, very, very interesting take at the very end of the show. Emilio, major thank you for jumping on for the last 40 minutes. I really appreciate it, Emilio.
No, thank you very much. Sorry I couldn't come for the whole show, but I thought I'd jump in for the last 40 minutes. Just trying to calm the faithful a little bit. I've come in with that mission. Maybe there's something else that we haven't covered off today. Maybe we want to cover off in the game preview show against Hull City. Where does Scott Parker fit into the squad or into the starting 11? Maybe we haven't talked about it, but maybe we should have a session just talking about, is there scope for Scott Parker? Yes or no? What are people's thoughts about that? Just food for thought anyway.
Great idea. I totally agree. Okay, guys, I need to wrap up the show. Great show as always. Again, I can't thank you guys enough. For Giannis and Emilio, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, goodbye, everyone. Bye, Giannis. Bye, Russ. Nice to speak to you both.
Bye.
Bye.